First Timothy says, chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Right? There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No other man or woman or principle or anything else is between you and God. You and Jesus and the Father. Amen? Right, because God is a bridge builder, right? We're talking about building bridges in the next couple of weeks. And we need to learn how to be better bridge builders. I don't know about you, but I know how to burn bridges. If I burned a bridge with you, let's rebuild another one. Right? Let's rebuild another one. That old one wasn't very sturdy, apparently. I don't know about you, but I built a couple of bridges in my time. One when I was about 10. We were building suspension bridges. Yeah, two cables across a creek with boards on it for snowmobiles to go across. We built suspension bridges tied around four trees, two on each side. And then we didn't quite put it high enough. And then the spring waters came and it ripped them right out of the trees and destroyed our bridge. So we rebuilt it again, a little bit higher. And then about 17, we built a truss bridge. And how much work goes into building bridges? How much work goes into building a relationship with the ones that we have? How many years have we been working on this, Tom? Pastor Tom? How many years have we been walking together building a relationship? 13 years. It hasn't been smooth all the time, has it? I've had to repent to Pastor Tom a whole bunch of times. Or Pastor Time a whole bunch of Toms. I'm not sure which way I am. Why? Because it takes time to build relationships. Can I tell you, you don't have a relationship until you disagree. Me and my wife, I thought we had a wonderful marriage. And then she said, "Well, I'm leaving." Yeah. You imagine? She wanted out. She said I was a jerk. I thought I was incredible. I was wrong. And then she pointed out a couple of the areas. It crushed me. Because I'm thinking, what? Those little things? Are you kidding me? What about all the positive things? Don't they outweigh those? Nope. It's called growing up. It's called getting healed. It's called learning how to walk together and agree. Amen? That's what happens. That's what relationships are. We're here to build bridges. And God's given me an opportunity, right? I told you this year, I'm going to go build a bridge with an imam and a rabbi. Loving it. I can't wait to have coffee with him this week. I am so excited to step out and meet these guys. I want to find out what makes them tick. I guarantee you we won't agree. We won't agree on everything. That's an impossibility. One doesn't believe that Jesus came. The other one believes Jesus was a good teacher. I believe he's the Son of the living God. Amen. We're not going to agree on everything, but I'm still going to build a bridge. And I'm still going to talk to these guys. And God wants to build a bridge. And there's nothing between God. It's us and Jesus and the Father. And he gives us that ability to come to the Father. Amen? Amen. So that's the key. You know, it's caused me to really look at my life to see and reevaluate, what am I building? And I really want to encourage you to think about it, maybe even write it down. What am I building? What have I built and what am I building? What kind of bridges have you built? You see, if you're a good bridge builder, then there's probably people sitting next to you. I'm looking down at my paper because I don't want anybody getting, you know, condemned. But if you're a good bridge builder, then you probably are building into someone else's life. Two people. Great. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. But it's caused me to look at my own life and see what I'm building. You know, in the beginning, I tried to build a life that blessed me before Jesus Christ. It was just about what pleased me. And then I submitted my life to Christ and ended up getting married. And we started to build a relationship there. And we're still building it. And it's an amazing marriage. My personal opinion, it's an amazing marriage. Okay. I didn't know. I was hoping. But it's taken a lot of work. Bridge building is a lot of work. If you're going to build relationships, you're going to spend a lot of time doing it. And it's going to take a lot of dying or a lot of excavating out that junk that was in there. Because for the most part, the person that you're with isn't the problem. It just seems to be that wherever you go, the problem goes. And it doesn't matter who you're with. You know, and then we started to build a family having children. You know, and we proclaimed it over their lives all the time that we have amazing kids. We told them there's nothing that they can't do. Don't settle for less. We pushed them. And we've encouraged them. We've traveled the world with them. We've proclaimed over their lives since they were born what beautiful gifts they were, building a bridge with them that we would be able to have conversations with them all the days of our lives. And sometimes that was strained, but it's better now because I had to change. You can't treat a 25-year-old like you treat a 4-year-old. You got to change. You got to build a different bridge. That first bridge was just a couple of sticks you threw across the creek, or maybe put a couple of rocks in the creek and you just stepped on the rocks and got across. But the next bridge has to carry a little bigger load. God wants you to carry a bigger load. And this is what he's planning for each and every one of us this year. You know, in 99, we were sent out here to build this church. And oh, how we love our church family. We absolutely love you. We are so thankful to God that he sent us to Hudson. I am the richest man on the planet because of you. Because of Christ, obviously. But because of you guys, you make us rich. You really do. You've got to hear that and understand that. Because when you get rid of you and you do what he says, he opens up the world and puts it at your fingertips. No matter where we go, God opens up more doors. And he's allowing more bridges. You know, this year I believe it's a year to learn how to build. And bridges connect two different places that are difficult to reach. Isn't that what a bridge does? Something hard to navigate. I remember my great uncle, he used to deliver produce over here in Hudson. He grew up in Greene County. And in the wintertime, he said, yeah, what we did was we just drove across the Hudson River because it froze 3 feet thick. He says, we just drove our truck across the Hudson River, come over here and haul produce over to Hudson because there was no bridge at the Rip Van Winkle. And I thought, yeah, I don't know if I like that bridge. But that's what they did. It got them from one point to another. That was tough to navigate. In the springtime, you couldn't do that. In the summertime, you couldn't do that. But they found a way. You know, some bridges are short and some are long, and some of them takes time to build. Some bridges are made of wood, stone, steel, cables, cement. What kind of a bridge would you build? What kind of a bridge do you want to build? You see, God's put something in your heart on what to build. Because I found out that there's mainly 7 different types of bridges that you can build. All right? There's different styles of bridges. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a different style. And everybody says, you sure are. There's an arch bridge, sometimes called a rainbow bridge, beam bridge, cable stayed bridge, cantilever bridge, suspension bridge, truss bridge, and the arch bridge. Tied arch bridge. Each bridge is meant to carry a different load. Each one looks different, and each one is constructed differently, and each bridge has a specific purpose. It sounds just like you. We all look different. We all have different callings and different gifts. We all carry a different load, right? Pastor Tom carries the load of all the kids. My wife carries the load of the worship ministry. Pastor Bob, he's running Celebrate Recovery, and he goes into the nursing homes, and then he goes out on the street, and he stands there with his signs, and people just love him out there. All of Hudson gathers around him at the abortion clinic, and they just tell him how wonderful he is. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's carrying a different load. Listen, you were meant to carry a load and build a bridge. If you're in this church and you're not carrying a load, it means you're not doing what God called you to do. 5 of us. Woo! How'd I know that was going to go over like a lead balloon? Listen, if you're coming here and you're not serving, then you're not building your bridge. Because you're here to carry a load. Amen? You're here to carry a load. We're not here to carry your load. You're here to carry the lost. into the kingdom of God. You're here to build a bridge into someone else's life that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And how do we learn how to die? By serving here in the house of God, by washing the feet of those that we walk with. That's where we grow. You see, if we're going to build a bridge, if we're going to do something great, and I believe this year is a year of bridge building. I really do with all of my heart. This thing has been burning and burning and burning in me. And all I can think about when I wake up in the morning, I'm singing a worship song and I'm thinking about questions for these guys when I meet them this week. That's what I've been thinking about every day. Okay, what questions can I ask these guys that won't offend them and turn them off right in the very beginning? You know, I don't want to say, okay, who do you say Jesus is? Probably won't go so well. But I want to ask them about their kids, and I want to ask them about where they came from and their upbringing and build that bridge. First thing we got to do is we're going to have to excavate, and we're going to have to dig down and build a foundation. That's why we're here on Wednesday nights doing Bible study, building a foundation in our lives. That's why we're here on Sunday morning early and we're in prayer. Why? Because we're crying out to God, because without him, there's no way for me to build a bridge. If he's not the center, if he's not the architect of the bridge, then I'm going to build something that's going to collapse. I don't know about you, but I want something that's going to last to eternity. Hey, Jeff, you want to bump this up to 70 on the thing just because I know it's going to cool off. And we're going to be here a while. In Psalms 145, verses 3 through 5 in the Passion, here's the key. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. There's a bridge that we're supposed to carry and build. One generation building a bridge to another. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. I will proclaim your great deeds. You want to know how to build a bridge? His great deeds. His word, his plan, his purpose, your gift expressed with what he asked you to do. I don't know what he asked you to do this morning. I know he asked you to get up and get out of bed and come to church. Good job. First board is laid for the day. We're building that bridge. Now when you walk out of here, you're going to see somebody. Some of you, you're not going to see anybody. You're going to have your head in that bowl of food going. And you probably won't see anybody for 2 days. All right? After fasting for 20 days. And try not to do that in the restaurant, all right? At home, we don't care. Don't do that any time of day, my wife says. All right. So, but if you go out somewhere, there's going to be somebody else you're going to meet. If you stop and get gas, wherever you go, there's going to be somebody you're going to meet, and you have an opportunity to build a bridge. Why? Because we're going to tell them and proclaim his great deeds. Whoever we meet, I want to proclaim his great deeds. Because I know when I do, he starts to lay another board on my bridge. And he starts to add to it. And we see this in Genesis. In Genesis 1, right? We see that in the beginning, God, right? And then he created. And we know in Genesis 2 that he prepares the earth for his greatest creation. Isn't that incredible? Chapter 2, he's preparing the earth for you. What a God we serve, right? And it says that there was in Genesis 2, 8 through 10, it talks about a river watering the garden that flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. And during the fast, when we were praying downstairs, I saw a picture of each one of us. Because you see, when we start to build bridges into someone else's life, then it's like that first river, right? It had never rained before in the Garden of Eden. Right? And the water came up out of the earth, and then it went in four different directions in four great rivers. And we've been to the Euphrates, or I have. Sorry, not you weren't with me on that one. I didn't take you to Egypt to see the pyramids and the Sphinx, did I? No. I left you home, didn't I? I'm still building a bridge. But I did bring you to Israel. So that river, That fountain head, whatever that looked like, turned into four rivers. And I just saw a picture of when you touch one person's life for Jesus Christ, four more people are touched and going in different directions. And I just saw where the spring of life comes up inside of you. The next thing you know, you're going to touch somebody's life, and they turn it into a river. they start to walk out a different call. I had no idea when I accepted Christ down in it. My mom was praying for me for years, and I had no idea that when I walked up front in front of 500 people in Biloxi, Mississippi, and gave my life to Christ, I'd never thought that, number one, I would stop drinking that night forever. Number two, that my whole life would be changed in a moment. And then we would come back to New York and ever think about pastoring. That was never in my... I just wanted to get saved. This guy convinced me that salvation was a good thing because he told me about his life and it paralleled mine to a T. And when I went up and gave my heart to the Lord, everything changed, but I had no idea what bridge God was getting ready to build or where he was going to send me. Or that, I mean, I wanted to marry her, obviously, but I didn't even know if she was going to marry me. See, she's pretty smart, though. And I was so thankful that God heard my cry, and I was crying. God, please, please! I was hollering to God, and he gave me the desire of my heart. But I had no thoughts about coming back here, and as a matter of fact, she said, if I knew you were going to be a pastor, I wouldn't have married you. See, she wasn't that spiritual back then. Just kidding, Bren. You were. Yeah. But during that fast, when I saw when one person, somebody touched my life. My mom prayed for me for years. Somebody touched my life. And now God has opened up some doors and there's other rivers running. There's other rivers running here in Guatemala and India and Africa, Philmont, Athens, with the help of a whole lot more men and women, obviously. It's not me. I admit that. I realize that. But I want you to know, I don't know who you're going to touch and who, what bridges they're going to build into other people's lives. The detailed description of the Garden of Eden, it was pleasure or delight. God was building a place of pleasure. And what the Lord prepared or designed was delightful to him, and he was doing it all for us. Think about that. He thought about what would meet all the needs for his kids. Isn't that what we get consumed with sometimes? Right? You start having babies. How many people said, I can't afford to have a kid? We did. We were like, oh, man. We had another and another and we thought we were going to have another. And she was like, I don't think we can do another. And I said, I don't know either. I didn't think we could do three. But God kept supplying. And he did an amazing job. And then we had another and then another. And you know what? There's always been enough for all of our kids and anybody else that came to our house for dinner. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't have enough to have kids. You never will. God's the one with more than enough. And for those babies that are out there with Justice for Orphans, those babies that are out there, listen, if you don't have one, go find one. There's a lot of them. You sit there, well, we can't. We couldn't. Hey, there's a lot of babies out there. Go grab a couple of them, a dozen. It's cheaper by the dozen. I saw the movie. All right? Go bring them into your home. You want to build a bridge, you bring them into your home and watch their lives get changed forever and watch what God does with them and through them. I'm telling you, there's a way to make it work, and it's always in him. And this is what God was preparing for each and every one of us. He prepared the earth. He said it was good for all of my kids. And I was thinking about that. You know, it was planned and planted by God himself. It was mankind's first home, and it contained incredible variety of all kinds of trees. It's a beautiful place. The trees were pleasing to the eyes. It was fertile. It was a fruitful place. It provided nourishment, nutrition. The trees were good for food. It was naturally well watered. How much money would that save us if we go back there? You know, and then later we read all the animals that God placed in the garden. And God prepared it so well for us. That Adam and Eve, it says, they didn't have any clothes, and yet all they did was lay down at night, and the weather, the temperature was perfect. Perfect. We haven't been able to get the temperature in this church perfect for everybody ever. Somebody's too hot. Somebody's too cold. There's only a few of you that are just right, and you're fast asleep. Right? It's always somebody's cold, somebody's out. We can't get it, but God created a place for you and me that was perfect. They laid down with nothing and went to sleep. He took care of everything. Do you understand the God that you're serving? He wants to take care of your everything. And then after God created all of this, God steps across the bridge. He comes from eternity into the garden. God is the first one that builds that bridge. He comes out of there. Why? Because we read in the scriptures that then God, right? Adam heard the Lord call to him in the garden. Now, some different ones, you know, different theologians, they take a look at that. And what does that mean? You know, because it says that they heard him walking in the garden. So they knew the sound of it because they knew it was him. Now, how does a spirit or an entity make noise walking in the garden? And some of them said maybe it was a theophany. Maybe it was a, you know, the like in the Old Testament where the angels showed up to Abraham when they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe it was a theophany like that. But another, one of the scriptures, I got ahead of myself. Because John 4:24 says we know that God is a spirit. So how exactly could he be heard walking in the garden? You know, and it's clear in Genesis 3:8 that as God approached them, they heard a sound or a voice. And they heard the sound of the Lord God. You know, whatever form God took, it certainly allowed for a physical production of sound. His walk was audible, and he was making noise. Boy, I like it when God makes noise in my life. I like it when he speaks to me. I like it when he shakes me. I like it when he wakes me up at night. You know, the verse also mentions the word presence of God among the trees of the garden. And it was a presence that Adam and Eve acknowledged and they thought they could hide from. I want you to know, God created the earth. He stepped over. That was the first bridge. God coming out of eternity, coming down to earth, wanting to spend time with Adam and Eve. They heard him walking in the cool of the day, and then they tried to hide because they had stumbled. But they knew it was him, so obviously he had walked with them. He had been there before. And that word, you know, the garden, or God's garden walk included both sound and some sort of presence among the trees. In Deuteronomy 31:15, you know, God the Father is invisible, cannot be seen by any humans, according to, to the word of God. And if he didn't come in the flesh, some type of symbolic aspect took place. And one of them, the translated, the cool of the day, when we see that in the word of God, it could literally be translated the wind of the day. Where else do we read about the wind when men are getting close to God? And we read that in Acts chapter 2, where a violent wind. And I wonder if they knew it was God because there was a violent wind coming through the trees in the Garden of Eden. I'm sure that it wasn't always just a violent wind, but when we disobeyed, when they disobeyed, he come in and he was making some noise, but he didn't stop coming. That's the God that we serve. I don't know how many times you've stumbled. I want you to know your God never stops coming. He never stops speaking to you. He never stops making a way. He never gives up on you. He will always come into our lives and he will always make some noise. A lot of times, look at your neighbor. A lot of times he uses people like them. Doesn't he? A lot of times people come into our lives and say something. Me and my wife had a discussion yesterday, it was, and brought up an issue that that we deal with, and we haven't gotten all the victory in it yet. You ever have them? You've come light years from where you were, but there's still that little that little word that's spoken, or that little gesture that's made, or something, and all of a sudden, you go from, hey, and everything is fine. And then all of a sudden, a little bit while later, oh, yeah, one more word. And then by the end of the day, you're like, and you just want to unload because it was a little something that God's been working on using somebody else. And he speaks to us through others. He'll even speak through the heathen. You see, God came down to walk with Adam and Eve. That's the first bridge. He wants to walk with each and every one of us. And sometimes when we're walking with one another, things are said and it just stirs a little something. Or there's a thought, a remembrance of something. And we have to now surrender that. We've got to be open enough to be able to say, what do you see by my response? That's a scary sentence. I didn't like asking that one. What do you see? Because we're all blind, amen? Adam and Eve were blinded by the serpent. He was the craftiest one. I want you to know that serpent is still very crafty. And he is trying to blind you from being exposed. Because God wants to walk with us, amen? He wants you to walk in a stronger way, in a greater way, with more authority and power being expressed in your life. That's what God wants to do. He never wants to stop. He always wants, and he loves the mornings. He loves the morning. David said, early in the morning will I seek you. Jesus was up before everybody else seeking the Lord. Why? They wanted that time before all the distractions of the day. So I want to encourage you, you know, as we're walking through this season of bridge building, if something is spoken to you and you go, what is it in you that responds to that situation? Because I believe that God is trying to get you over a bridge. I believe that person is probably coming into your life to help you get healed. Not just trying to find, how easy is it to find somebody else's weakness? I'm on full display. I got lots of weaknesses. You hear them, you see them, you watch it happen, but I'm not giving up on what God called me to do, because I'm going to keep building that bridge with between me and him until Jesus comes. I am never going to stop building that bridge and making sure that there's nothing on my bridge. There's no traffic jam on that bridge at all. It's me and him. He came down and he spent time with Adam and Eve. He comes down and he spends time with me. That's what he said he wanted to do. That's what communion is all about. That made a way, that built that bridge, that now God has free access into our lives in order to bring healing, change, deliverance. Can I tell you, that's only the beginning. Five, six, seven, eight. Salvation is the beginning. Deliverance is the beginning. That's where we're supposed to. We get into the Word of God, and I'm going to have to agree with what the Word says, because some of the things that you guys have said would cause me to back up and go a different direction. Some of the things that happened in Greenville, some of the things that happen, no matter where we walk, there's always something that can happen that can derail us. Amen? And if you've been derailed, it's time to get back on that rail. And it's time to get back building that bridge between you and the Father, that no one can separate you and him. No man between me and my God. Remember what we read in the beginning, right? Just Jesus Christ and God. He is the one that brings me before the Father and says, look at what you have done. You made him whole. So if there's anything in you, I want you to know, if all of a sudden you get that, know that God's trying to rip something out, because he wants to make that bridge stronger. Because there's a lot more people that he wants you to build a bridge with. And until that gets healed, you're going to limit how many people you can build a bridge with. And how many Christians are walking around with a limited ability to build a bridge? Because it's somebody else's fault. I just want you guys to know today, it's not Travis's fault. Right, Trav? All right, we're in agreement. It's not Travis's fault. It's not Kathy Matice's fault. Kathy, you're free. And I'm telling you, it's not your fault. It is not your fault, honey. Oh, it's mine? Oh, it's not mine. Sorry. Honey, I'm just kidding. I know. It's not. It's nobody else's fault here. God wants us to be bridge builders, but in order to do that, we're going to have to get digging deep. You build that abutment first. You dig down and pour concrete and stick steel pylons 60 feet in the ground. And you got to excavate all of that and build that first. in order to build your bridge. And if you're not building a bridge, you're probably tearing it apart. I think the church has been tearing itself apart long enough. I've got 7 pastors coming here this Friday. Please pray. I got 7 pastors coming from different churches. I want to build bridges. How many know the church is fractured? But I'm building bridges. There's a lot of families that are fractured. You're here to build bridges. Maybe it's in your own life. It's fractured. You're here to build bridges. And because when you get healed, when you come to know Jesus Christ, all things have been made what? New. You're a new creation, a new creature. Therefore, old things have passed away. Let them go. Let go of your old friends. Oh, but I like them. I like the spider web bridge we have. Let them go. God's got something bigger. If they're not running for the Lord, run with those that are. Reach out to those that aren't, but run with those that are. Because he's got a plan for each one of us. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Matthew 11, 28, he said, come unto me. He built that bridge. He just said, come. He didn't say, bring anything with you. Isn't that nice of him? He didn't say, pack your bags, because he doesn't want what's in your old bag. He doesn't want what you've been carrying. He wants you to let that go. He just said, come unto me all, every single one that are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? I'll give you what?
Rest.
You got to be rested to build a bridge. If you're going to build bridges, you're going to have some rest. And he wants to deliver each and every one of us from all of those bondages. And he's good at it. He's very, very good at it. We must be the bridge builders. He supplied all we need to succeed. This is his heart. In the midst of our failures, weaknesses, stumbling, lies, lack of obedience and pride, he still says it's time to build a bridge. He built a bridge for our deliverance. Let's walk over it. Let's not camp out on the wrong side of that bridge. I know that he's getting ready to do something glorious in the earth. Because when the darkness comes and it says darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people, we're seeing that happen. Amen? But he said, the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Just tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Tell your other neighbor, say, oh, that is me. You see, the reality is, unless you step over that and agree that God is that good and he wants to glorify himself through you, then you'll sit on the sideline or sit on one side of the bridge and never build it. Because you'll say, I can't. You can't, but he can. And he'll build it with you. He's amazing at that. Is there anyone that God's putting on your heart right now that's worthy of you building a bridge for or to? I don't know who it is. I don't know where he's sending you. Maybe it's somebody, a broken relationship in the past, or maybe it's something new that you're going to find out this week. But I want you to know we're here to build bridges. Don't burn them down. We're here to repair bridges that are busted. We're here to bring people into a right relationship with Christ. That's what we're here to do. Amen? Bunch of bridge builders. I expect next week to see you come in here with calluses on your hands. Bent over. Ooh, been carrying them blocks. Huh? Slices on the face. The steel let go a couple of times. It didn't come out just right. You're going to have some wounds if you're going to build a bridge. It's just that simple. I like to see a bunch of wounded warriors. That means they went to battle. It means they went and they did what they were supposed to do. And then we're going to come, we're going to lay hands on you, get you all healed up, and send you back out again to keep building, because he's already won the war. And you're victorious through Christ who strengthened you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Oh God, we see the bridge that you built. First, you built a place for each one of us. And you said it was all good. Lord, you provided everything for us and you still do. All that we have need of, your righteous right hand has supplied. And Father, this morning, as we come before you and as we end our fast today, Lord, I pray that you would continually show them visions and dreams all night long. Father, that each one here would have a notepad next to their bed, and when you wake them up and give them a word, they write it down. Father, that we start to discipline ourselves, because anyone that's going to build a bridge is going to have to be disciplined in their approach. And Father, that as we sit with that paper, when you wake us up, we don't complain anymore, but we just take the piece of paper, write it down, and then we go back to sleep. Or we get in prayer, or we keep writing all night long, whatever it is. And Lord, we're asking for the miraculous, that the spouses don't complain when the light comes on, we start writing. You're that good, Lord. You're that good. And Father, that you would stir up our hearts for that one, whoever it is that you have placed on our heart right now to go build a bridge with. Lord, whether we have to wash their feet and repent to them, or whether we have to remind them and maybe work through a situation of what they have done towards us. But Lord, we would be those that are quick to repent. We would be those, oh God, that would lay our lives down, for we're reminded that everything you did was good. And anyone that we meet, you've created. And therefore, it's your desire that you said, come unto me all who are heavy laden. You said you wanted everyone to come across that bridge that we're building. Father, I pray that we wouldn't eliminate anybody, no matter what they've done in our lives. No matter how ugly or abusive it was, Father, that we would find our deliverance and our healing in you, and we would build bridges to those that are lost in darkness. Father, I thank you that today is a day of freedom and joy and peace, because we have come unto you.